Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Every day I get in the queue to get on the bus.
We're back.
Takes me to you.
12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do at my website, articles and archives, and find out more about our Brain Trust members and find out more about the things that they offer you in your business, some of the resources that they make available to you and to me. Like our good friend Lynn Morella. Lynn is a good friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He had a very successful career in the military. He is now in private practice. He's a partner in the investment and financial planning company, Springridge Financial Group. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, ladies and gentlemen. This is the guy that you hear me mention from time to time, even when he's not on the air with us. You hear me mention some of the things that he's taught us on the show and quoting some things from his book, In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character. And he's here with us right now. Lynn Morella, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's a delight to be back with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. Lynn, I want to go ahead and get something off my chest that I've been thinking about, and I wanted your thoughts on it. Something happened recently that I thought about you, and I thought about the things that you and I talk about, in this concept of ethics. Last weekend, the Ryder Cup was played near Detroit here in the United States. And as you know, those of you who don't know, this is the big contest biannually between Europe and the Americans in golf. And the Americans were down. They were basically up against it. They didn't wind up not pulling it off. They wind up losing, and they knew they had a big hill to climb because they played so badly, and the Europeans had played so well on Friday and Saturday. So this is Sunday. Davis Love, one of the top golfers in the world, American, hit his ball into the rough. He was losing the match, but he still had a chance to win. He still could have pulled it out if he won the next two holes. He hit his ball in the rough. And as you may know, Lynn, if you address the ball and your stance is in any way impeded by a man-made object like a sprinkler or a drain or something like that, you get relief. You can move your ball. He addressed the ball in the rough. It was a horrible lie. It was an absolutely horrible lie. He addressed the ball and his toe was 1 inch, literally. The umpire that was with the team said his toe was 1 inch from a sprinkler head, and he didn't move his toe 1 inch to, because if he had, and nobody would have known this, no one in the world would have known that wasn't the stance he wanted. He could have moved his ball two club lengths out of that rough into a better lie. And maybe won the match. And he wouldn't do it.
Once again, the power of character and the power of moral courage and the power of example. Because even though you thought nobody was watching, sooner or later somebody would have known. No.
I'm telling you, this is a case where if he gets to take his stance any way he wants to take his stance, he didn't have to spread his legs out wider or anything, his feet out wider or anything like that. All he had to do was move his toe 1 inch. And let me tell you something else. They asked him about this later. He said, well, I was going to hit a cut shot. He said, if I had hit a cut shot, I would have moved my foot a little bit to the left to make that shot. But when I got there and I realized that wasn't the shot I needed to make, that turned my foot in a little bit. And he said, so my point is, he could have gone ahead and made that stance. And I'm telling you, nobody would have known, but he would have known. That's golf. That's Davis Love. And that's ethics. That's the moral courage that you talk about all the time.
Well, he did the right thing.
But what kind of upsets me a little bit, Lynn, is that we're not seeing that this the news media ought to be plastering that example all over the place. That is a humanity story if I've ever seen one.
Well, I'm discouraged too that they didn't make a bigger thing of it, because I just have to tell you that we never overestimate the power of character and the power of example. You know, one person can make a difference, and here's another opportunity for somebody to have made a difference. And the press didn't play it right.
The announcers did at the time, but I'll tell you this. Here's the good news, though. An awful lot of young people soaked up, young golfers, really watched that tournament, and that was he influenced millions of young men and women when he did that.
I have a similar story, Jim, about the Olympic swimming champion John Neighbors, who in 1976 was competing in the U.S. National Championships to try to make the U.S. team to go to the World Games and maybe to the Olympics. And he won his backstroke event as a high school kid, swimming against mostly college swimmers. And he won the event. And as he left the pool, the referee said, "I'm sorry, but you've been disqualified." The lane judge says, you didn't touch the wall at the far end of the pool when you made your turn. And his coach came to him and said, "John, we can protest this. We can protest this. You know, doesn't America want to be represented by its best swimmers?" The lane judge was a woman. What does she know about the hospital? What does she know about swimming? And an 18-year-old kid looked his senior coach in the eye and said, "Coach, I'd rather be disqualified than dishonored.
Wow.
My family didn't raise a cheater."
Wow.
That's the bad news. The bad news. The good news was that he stood his ground. The bad news was he lost the event. But the even better news was, even despite that, he went to the Olympics and won 4 gold medals.
Mm-hmm. With his integrity.
With his integrity.
Yeah, took his integrity with
a true
great
example,
story.
A true example of the power of character.
Absolutely. Well, give us I love your definition of ethics. I wish you'd help tell it to us again. It's very simple.
Well, it is very simple. It's just to do the right thing despite what's facing you.
You also, what is it you say, devotion to the unenforceable?
That's right. If you're facing a legal issue, you're facing the enforceable. Ethics is living with the unenforceable.
I like to say, and I wrote an article about this. I like to say that ethics is not black or white. Ethics is gray. The color of ethics is gray. And if everything were black and white, we wouldn't need ethics, would we?
Well, that's true. But the notion of things being gray is what people quibble about, and that's
right.
That's part of the problem, is it?
When I say gray, what I mean is that it's something we have to make a decision about. We have to say, okay, do I move my toe or not? You know, otherwise, you know, it's black and white. Stand by, Lynn. We're going to come back. I'm going to get Lynn to tell us what he thinks about some of the things that are going on these days in politics, specifically with regard to ethics. 20 after. Stay with us.
Of night, there cuts a path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight. At the
bar, we're back. It's 23 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. You just tuned in. Welcome aboard. Lynn Morella is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of one of my favorite books, In Search of Ethics. Lynn, tell us where your book's available and give us your website as well, please.
Well, my book's available in all the major bookstores. If they don't have it for you, they can. If it's not in stock, they can order it for you. It's in the system. And if you want to go online, you can go to focusonethics.com and you can get it directly.
And folks,
focusonethics.com.
I really encourage you to buy a bunch of these books and give them to your employees. Don't buy one and give it to one employee, because that employee will think that you think that they're the only ones who need this. Buy one for at least each one of your senior management, your key employees. Buy this and buy one for yourself and just say, "Hey folks, you know, let's read this. I think you'd be interested in this." And then talk about some of the things that Lynn talks about in his book.
I don't know if I told you, but the United States Military Academy out at West Point now buys one for every new cadet.
Wow.
And sends it to their home before they even arrive at West Point.
Wow.
And makes it mandatory reading.
There you go, folks.
And then they're asked to write an essay when they get there on what honor means to me.
I'll be darned. Wow, I'm not the least bit surprised, Lynn. Congratulations.
Well,
you've been doing some research on moral courage. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you know, moral courage is having the guts to do what's right in the face of, you know, in the face of tough decisions. And recently I was in Canada interviewing a young doctor up there, a female doctor who was facing some serious charges from a major drug company there. This lady was a pediatric hematologist, and she was doing clinical trials for a major disease on a blood disease for children. And the clinical trials weren't going the way that she thought they should be going, so she asked the drug company to cease and desist and let the parents of the kids know this is not exactly what should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug company had said, well, you have a confidentiality agreement, and therefore you can't speak about this.
Wow.
So she was a professor at the University of Toronto Hospital. She was also a doctor in their she was on the academic staff. She was also a doctor in the hospital, and she said her conscience said I got to blow the whistle. I got to tell them this is not good for the kids. And so she did, and as a consequence, she lost her job. She got blasted in the press. The drug company sued her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And make a long story short, after 6 years of all this pressure. Losing her job, losing her income, losing her reputation. An independent panel went and found out she was exactly right, exonerated her completely.
Wow!
And found out that there were some major money involved, donations by the company to the university. So the university staff was not really behind her the way they should have been. But in the end, she was exonerated. But the courage that she displayed in the face of all this legal pressure, all this academic pressure, was just amazing. And I'm making her a chapter in my new book. A new edition of my book, which should be out early next
Great.
Year.
Well, I know you'll be sure to let us know when it comes out. Lynn, courage, in my opinion, is one of the most important characteristics in the marketplace, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's AWOL some places.
Yeah, it is. I have seen it in executives. And you know what? One of the interesting things, if you start paying attention to courage, when people don't have courage, it shines like a beacon, doesn't it? I mean, it looks like it's an ugly light, but it does shine, doesn't it?
Indeed it does. And it's not easy. Nobody said it was easy. But again, most of us know what's right. Most of us know what's right, but the glue that makes it work is to have the guts, to have the moral courage to do what you know is right in the face of all types of pressure, in the face of all types of heat. And unfortunately, not enough of us are standing up and drawing the line in the sand and saying, "This is right. This is what I'm going to do. This is wrong. This is what I'm not going to do."
Are you cynical about our ability to recover leadership in politics? How are you hopeful, or are you cynical about it?
I have to say, I'm a bit cynical about it. The good news is that I know wherever I go and speak to people, they know what's right. People will tell me time and time again. The values that they believe in are truth and honesty, respect, responsibility or duty, compassion or love, or justice or fairness, and freedom. They all tell me they believe that. Then you watch some of their actions, and there's a major disconnect between what they say and what they do. And the cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction. So if you don't have the guts, if you don't have the moral courage to swim upstream and say, I know this is right, I know it's the hard thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway, then it's tough.
And I'll tell you something else. You can't lead employees if your actions are different from what comes out of your mouth.
I learned as a young second lieutenant in the Army, the troops will see through a phony in 15 seconds.
Exactly, or less.
Once you're labeled a phony, you're dead in the water.
Mm-hmm. Almost unredeemable, but it is possible to redeem yourself.
Yes,
but
it takes
a lot longer to redeem yourself than it does to fall for grace.
It takes more courage than it.
That's right.
You dig a hole, and it gets deeper and deeper, and it's harder to climb out of.
That's one of the things we're going to talk about in the next half hour with John Dini about when employees steal from you, is one of the justifications is when the boss hasn't been truthful about things.
That's the rationalization.
Yeah, that's the rationalization, exactly.
I think I may have told you this story before, but I was at an investment conference a couple of years ago.
I got 15 seconds.
One of my colleagues told me how much he liked my book, how much he believed in everything I was talking about. And the next breath, he said, I'm going to go out and play golf this afternoon. Would you sign my name to the class
you're
supposed to be at? I said, listen to yourself.
No.
You're telling me how much you believe what I say, and then you're telling me to forge your name so you can get credit for something you didn't do.
Unbelievable. Lynn Morella, thank you for being here today. Good job, as always.
It's always a pleasure, Jim.
Thanks. Lynn Morella, ladies and gentlemen, Search of Ethics is the book. Quick break, 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.